Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's one of those busy Thursdays. We love it. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sesmat. And I just thought of it as the show opened. This is why I walked out on the TV stuff, because those poor saps are going to be given like 3 minutes today to try to do everything that's going on. It's silly. I mean, we've got the combine, we've got the Dragic stuff, we've got the Diamondbacks reporting, and they maybe get lucky to get 3 minutes. So I've got plenty of time here to do and do it well and do it right with Peter King, Sports Illustrated's Monday morning quarterback, the MMQB. None better than Peter King. He will join us live from the NFL Scouting Combine coming up at 10:20. Jude LaCoff is going to join us for a couple of minutes at Fox 10. I want to try to get as many of the TV sports guys around town as I just rip the, not them, just the whole format that they're in. But these guys today with the Goran Dragic trade rumors and today being the NBA trade deadline, what is Robert Sarver going to do? Robert Sarver is being stubborn and dug in. I've had a couple of NBA inside sources of teams in the Western Conference. And I spoke with both of them this morning, and they both said they hear that Miami has made the best offer for the Suns. I'm going to talk about that offer here in a couple of minutes. If they don't trade Goran Dragic, well, I'll get into that too. But the last 48 hours, not even less than that, but like the last 36 hours here in Phoenix, the way that Goran Dragic just dropped the bomb on the Suns, I mean, it's really interesting. It's really interesting what's going to happen. Let's get you caught up. Some of the things on my mind in the world of sports brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. The Honda Resort and Casino, it is Thursday. That means the weekend is coming up. Guys, by tomorrow night, you can make your way up to the White Mountains. Get into your room at the Honda Resort and Casino with your significant other or your potential significant other or just the fellas. And you could be skiing on Saturday morning at the Sunrise Ski Resort. You could be pulling down on the slots at the Honda Resort and Casino, dancing to some music, some tunes, eating some great food by tomorrow night or Saturday night, and have a great weekend. It's really not that hard for me to lay it out to you. With the Honda Resort and Casino, that is the place in the beautiful White Mountains. What a great part of the state to get away from and enjoy yourself and all the fun around Sunrise. They have all the equipment up there that you can rent, so you don't have to worry about that. If you just want to take the family up and go snowboarding at the Sunrise Ski Resort, it's all there for you. That's at the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Peter King coming up at about 10:20. But first, let's go to the Combine and check in with Eric Sorensen, Senior Executive Vice President of Everything with Sports 360 AZ. He is in Indianapolis where it was minus seven or plus seven this morning, dude? What was it?
When I landed yesterday, it was plus seven. When I woke up this morning and turned on the local news long before the sun came up, it was minus 7 degrees.
That's awesome. That is awesome. So you're indoors at the Combine. What do you make out of the Combine to this point? Is this like usual years, or because there is no Michael Sam or Manti Te'o, it's a little bit tamer?
Well, there's always a storyline that people are gravitating towards. And today is skill player day, Brad. So the quarterbacks, the running backs, and the wide receivers at some point in time before close of business will be rolling through here. And I'm sure when Jameis Winston rolls through the media center sometime in the next 3 or 4 hours, yeah, it will be just as big of a circus as those former combine people that you mentioned. And it's funny you mentioned Michael Sam, because I was seeing it in the workroom, and I heard someone with the NFL say something about, well, do we anticipate the big rush last year with Michael Sam at the podium for Jameis Winston this year? So the people with the NFL are certainly bracing for the storm that to roll through indoors with Mr. Winston.
So while Peter King with us from the MMQB here in about 10 minutes, where you're standing right now, so explain it to the people, what happens. The quarterbacks come rolling through. Is Jalen Strong in sight? If Jalen Strong shows up, you're just going to hang up on me, I would hope. I mean, how's this work?
I will. Well, the first group that has come through, it appears to be the wide receivers. We've seen a couple of them trickle in, but there's no rhyme or reason as to when they will be coming through,
yeah,
but they usually go by position. So they'll start, apparently today they're starting with the wide receivers. So So the wide receivers will go downstairs, get their workouts done, get their testing done, and then come upstairs and talk to us.
All right. So at any point in time, anybody can. And then the quarterbacks today, you see Hundley, Mariota, Bryce Petty today, and the running backs too, which I would think, Eric, the running backs for the Cardinals, they've got to look at running back. I'm going to talk to Peter King about Adrian Peterson and the potential with the Cardinals in a little bit, but the running backs would have to be an option too, right?
I would think so. Running back, help at linebacker. I don't think they will take another wide receiver early. They took John Brown in the second round last year, third round. So they're definitely looking to improve defensively. Bruce Arians spoke earlier today, and that's one of the things he said is improving the speed at linebacker. He thought Okafor made really good progress last year, became kind of a threat off the edge in terms of getting into the backfield. But he said they want to improve the speed in the back half of their defense. And obviously someone asking about Larry Fitzgerald. And the thing that he tried to convey is the most important thing with Larry Fitzgerald coming back in the fold is just simply keeping him healthy.
Yeah.
He played hurt for most of the year last year, and he's optimistic with the full offseason to recover that he'll be back at full speed next year.
Okay, what else stuck out to you from Bruce Arians meeting with you guys this morning?
I know it sounds like a broken record, but quarterback seems to be the big deal here today. And nobody knows quarterbacks quite like Bruce Arians. Someone asked Bruce Arians if the term system quarterback is an overused phrase at the combine.
No, because so many times you're evaluating a quarterback who's never called a play in a huddle and never used a snap count. They hold up a card on the sideline, and he kicks his foot and throws the ball. That ain't playing quarterback. There's no leadership involved there. Now, there might be leadership on the bench, but when you get them now and you give them verbiage and they have to spit the verbiage out, use a snap count, change a snap count, they're light years behind.
That's good stuff there. That's good stuff. Anything else from Arians this morning?
No, those are the two or three main points. People ask him just about the injuries and nothing really earth-shattering. Yesterday, obviously, the big story was Larry Fitzgerald with Steve Keim. But today, he sort of just reiterated some of those things. But I did also, Brad, earlier today, have a chance to catch up with George Whitfield. He is the ESPN quarterback guru. You can see him on College Game Day. And later on in the show, I asked him about Brady White. So all the ASU fans listening out there, he worked exclusively with Brady White at the Elite 11 camp this past summer and has some interesting things to say, so stay tuned for that.
He worked with Jameis Winston too, right?
He did.
Yeah.
He did.
So that's cool stuff. So later about Brady White and ASU. I like how you tie that in with the Sun Devils. All right, we'll check back with you in a bit. If anybody walks by, just tackle them or go do your thing with Jalen Strong if he rolls in. But good job there. That's Eric Sorensen at the Combine, brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Appreciate General Manager Tim Hovick and company, as always, fourth year that they've sponsored us to go to the NFL Scouting Combine. All right, a few other things here. So I want to switch over to Dragic and where things stand right now. It is my understanding that, and this is very fluid, so this could all have changed in the last 25 minutes, but I've talked to two people inside two Western Conference teams today about the Suns and their situation. These are executives within, and they just said, what are you hearing? They said, we hear Miami has made the Suns the best offer to this point, which would be two first-round picks. I'm a little tired of the Suns acquiring pick after pick after pick and getting all these young players, and I don't know if they can play or not play. Yesterday, after we left the show, Dragic dropped the bomb on the Suns yesterday. I mean, you have to... If I sound like I am beyond surprised, because I am, this is Goran Dragic from yesterday, what he had to say about the organization.
I don't trust them anymore, and you know, it happens too many times, two, three times. And, you know, they give promises, okay, but you know, I mean it's hard, but at the same time, you know, I wish them all the best. They were great to me, you know, the past 5 years here.
I don't trust them anymore. I never thought I would hear that coming out of Goran Dragic. And it was so open and so, as Goran usually is, so heartfelt and so strong. I can't have any issue with Goran Dragic. Goran Dragic, I had some stats sent over to me. Goran Dragic's touches, understand this, his touches are down 40%, off 40% year to year with Isaiah Thomas coming here. The more that you look at the Isaiah Thomas signing, the more you look at it and say, what in God's green earth were they thinking? And there was a lot of question about that at the time, but it was, oh, well, we've got these three guards and they're going to be great and we're going to make this work. And Dragic is now playing some wing and trying to fight through guys that are 6'6", 6'7", which makes no sense to me. His preferred teams are the Knicks, the Lakers, and the Heat. Now you have to make the numbers match up. It's pretty easy to say, well, I want to trade this guy for that guy. That's not how this works. You have to make the numbers match up and the numbers add up in terms of salaries going either direction. Robert Sarver reportedly is not backing down, does not want to give Dragic his wish of going to a preferred destination. Robert, you can't win this one. You cannot win this one. If Goran Dragic gets on a plane today to go to Minnesota with the team, he is going to be toxic no matter what. He may be the nicest young man in the world, but there's not a chance after how he's handled himself in the last 24 hours. It doesn't matter how much money you throw at him, that he's going to resign here. So, Robert, if you don't trade him, that's just sheer lunacy. You have to swallow your pride and make a tough business decision and move on. You know, people can't just rip Robert Sarver if he trades Goran Dragic here today. You can go back and say that was really a gamble last summer, but he's going to get crushed if they don't trade him, in my opinion. Because when we're sitting here on July 1st and he goes elsewhere and the Suns don't have anything, nothing to show for him, this isn't that hard. You have to move him. This year is over. The Thunder have 17 home games still. 17. They have a schedule that is not nearly as difficult as the Suns have. They are going to pass you. Surrender now rather than surrender the next couple of years. If you sit there and don't swallow your pride today, and you're going to say, well, I'll show you, I'm not going to trade you to any of your places. He's just going to go where he wants to go anyways. So I just don't think, as we sit here right now, that the Suns really have much of an option. And from a fan standpoint, I don't see where Robert wins in this one either. I think fans are going to side with Goran Dragic. Goran Dragic played great a year ago, but we said a year ago, it's not a given they're going to repeat this. And it was like, well, we're the smartest guys in the room. We can do it all over again. No, you're no better off now than you were a year ago. In fact, I make the argument you're worse. Because now one of your key players doesn't want to be here. And in 3 hours, if he's still here, or less than 3 hours, if he's still here, where is the organization heading? You can say, well, this summer we'll have all this money. Goran Dragic probably is the best player in this year's free agent class. You know, I'll take LaMarcus Aldridge, and he's terrific, but he's not a guard. You go up and down the potential free agents this summer, you're not going to find many better than Goran Dragic. You know, you make a trade with the Knicks. If I can get Tim Hardaway Jr., that'd be great. I'm fine with that. I think that's a nice piece. I think he has the potential to be a pretty darn good player. But I don't think having Norris Cole come rolling through here is going to do anything. So, you know, that's where it sits right now, that the Heat, two protected first-round picks is what I've been told is the best offer that the Suns have at this point, and that Sarver doesn't want to deal with any of the teams that are on his preferred destination list. Because if he does, what's to prevent the next player from coming along and saying, well, the Suns caved to Dragic, I can pull the same sort of stunt. I mean, this is a huge setback, and the implications are long-lasting. I don't see how they win on this one. On the other side, we'll head back to the NFL scouting combine. Peter King will join us next. How about Adrian Peterson on the Arizona Cardinals radar screen. What's going on with Adrian Peterson and his situation, and could the Cardinals be one of the list of teams that are looking to pursue Adrian Peterson? Also, who does Peter have on his radar? Last night, he made the jaunt from Indianapolis down to the Duke, North Carolina game. He went down there as a fan, so he may be a little bleary-eyed, but the Monday morning quarterback, the MMQB, Peter King, joins me next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
All right, obviously busy sports day. Suns trade deadline, the Goran Dragic absolute disaster mess here in Phoenix, and then in Indianapolis, Eric, there with the combine, brought to you by Santan Ford. Always good to catch up with Peter King, the MMQB. And of course, Peter with us during the regular season, few weeks off last night. He actually went down to see Duke, North Carolina, and he's back in Indy today, a man of many talents. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, Brad? That was a fun event last night. I have not been to something like that in quite a while, a college event that was so much fun. That was really cool.
And now you're at a college event in Indianapolis. What are the angles for you, Peter, this week? You've been to these combines through the years. What are you looking at this week?
You know, you try to get a little bit of private time with as many NFL people as you can. And then you try to do everything you can to just learn what's happening at the top of the draft. I think one of the things that happens at an event like this is that, you know, you essentially, this is really the start of my draft season because I don't watch much college football at all during the regular season. So if you don't watch a lot of college football, then you come here and a lot of these names are brand new. And obviously Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, they're not brand new, but in essence, most of these guys I don't know anything about. So it's a good time to basically invest 3 or 4 days in learning what the draft is going to be like, who people like, who they don't, and who's lying, you know, who's telling the truth, who's, you know, whatever. But it's a good like primer to draft season.
Peter King from the Combine with Brad Sussmat. As we sit here right now, do you have a feeling? There's a lot of speculation. Everybody's trying to figure out, but do you have a feeling between Winston and Mariota who Tampa Bay is leaning towards, Peter?
I've heard Winston, but I never trust things like that before the start of it, this far, 10 weeks away from the draft, for a very simple reason, 9 weeks, whatever it is, just because I've seen too many times people trying to put lines in the water that are lies, mm-hmm. and they know that they are lies, but they want people to believe what they're saying. So that's the thing that I think is so dangerous to draw conclusions. I mean, I've heard a bunch of people say categorically, hey, listen, there's no question they're taking Jameis Winston. Well, I think there's a very big question about it. So we'll see, but if I had to guess right now, I'd say Winston.
You wrote earlier in the week about Jameis Winston, and I don't want to just read verbatim, but what did you come away with in spending some time with his quarterback coach out in San Diego, and what does he need to do this week?
I think the biggest thing he needs to do is to be totally upfront with everybody as it pertains to all of his off-field stuff, because he has a huge amount of questions to answer because of his off-the-field problems. And to me, I think one of the biggest problems that you have at a combine, at scouting combine, is that, you know, you look at it this way. What is a guy going to do between the end of his football season, you know, the 5 weeks, let's say, he's going to train and this combine? What he's going to do is he's going to train as much as he can. Mm-hmm. He's going to train his body so that he can ace the combine and his pro day. But it isn't only that. He basically wants to convince everybody that he's a brilliant human being and that, you know, he's got no scars and all that. And that's the biggest thing right now that that Jameis Winston has to do. He has to convince everybody that he's not the monster that a lot of people think he is.
Do you believe, Peter, in someone in your position would know so well with the MMQB and as many years you've covered the NFL, that given what's gone on in the last year, Manziel here in the off season, the toxicity around Jameis Winston, if that's a word to use here, do you believe that he's toxic in some NFL teams' minds?
I think he is, and that's what he has to convince people. He has to convince people that he isn't that. But, I mean, I mean, 1 year ago, the great lesson for everybody at this combine is last year, Johnny Manziel came across as, you know, some combination of a brilliant football mind and a totally misunderstood kid who had vastly matured, and you know, obviously he hadn't. Mm-hmm. So it's a cautionary tale. The cautionary tale is, don't believe everything you hear or see at the scouting combine.
Do you have enough background just in your work that you've done to this point on the combine that there's a player or two that you're interested in? I know you wrote about Shaq Thompson. I'm interested in him because I saw him, of course, with Pac-12 play. Jalen Strong, the wide receiver out here, is getting a lot of buzz. Are there a player or two that you're really focusing in on this week?
The two quarterbacks, and I always like to look at people like, you know, like the Green Beckham kid, mm-hmm. wide receiver who essentially, you know, played his way off, or not played his way, but off-fielded his way off of the team at Missouri. Then he transferred and he never even got to play at Oklahoma because he chose to come out in the draft before, you know, before he ever played at Oklahoma. But I think he is somebody right now who's going to be really, really interesting to watch. And I think you also like to find guys who, for whatever reason, make an impact at the combine and have the kind of impact that you don't think is just simply a, you know, a function of some guy ran a good 40 time at the combine or something like that. You
right.
know,
right,
that's
right.
That's why I think you really have to be careful of what you hear and see here.
Well, in the Cardinals case, you know, John Brown shows up last year, the year before it's Andre Ellington. Steve Keim has told me over and over and over that the interviews are the most important thing, that the combine has nothing at all to do with the 40s and the shuttles and all that stuff. It's that 15-minute window that you can see if this guy really has a pulse, really has a heart, and you can tell a little bit about that guy because you can't miss on the person nowadays. Would you agree with that?
Well, you can tell a little bit about him, but you don't want to overrate that either because I think one of the things that ends up happening is that if you have the Johnny Manziel thing where you end up thinking that this guy, you know, has been terribly misunderstood and he's really a great guy and all this other stuff, if that happens, then you're doing your team a disservice. Mm-hmm. So I think what you have to do is you really have to, you've just got to take everything with a grain of salt. And I think you have to make sure that you don't overestimate any single element here. And you just add it to the total profile of the person and the player.
A couple other questions for Peter King, the MMQB, from the Combine with Brad Susmat. Were you surprised at the figure Larry Fitzgerald agreed to at $11 million for a receiver who's on the backside, but he's done so much and that he took himself off the market? What'd you make out of the Fitz contract, Peter?
Honestly, I was surprised at how high it was.
Yeah.
Because this is a guy who seemingly, anyway, in Bruce Arians' offense is not going to be the prime guy again. So, you know, I think probably this was an effort by the Cardinals to make sure that Larry Fitzgerald didn't get away, you know, because I think that they wanted to make absolutely sure that they got him re-signed. And if they had to do it for maybe, you know, a total of 4, 5, 6 million more than they really wanted to do it at heart, I think they felt like it was worth it to them to make sure that, and who knows, maybe this doesn't ensure that Larry Fitzgerald retires a Cardinal. You know, who knows how much longer he's going to play.
Sure, sure.
But it's their effort to try to make sure that he retires a Cardinal.
And before I let you go, Adrian Peterson can apply for reinstatement April 15th. From my understanding, you're back there, you're closer to that situation. There's been this belief out here in Arizona that maybe the Cardinals can make a run at Adrian Peterson. They need help desperately at running back. Of course, the Cowboys with the uncertainty of DeMarco Murray. Just general in Adrian Peterson case, what do you see happening there?
I think Adrian Peterson first has to determine that he wants to return to Minnesota and that he's going to be a happy camper in Minnesota. If not, then I think the Vikings are going to have to make a decision. Would they consider releasing him? I don't think so. I think they would try to get something for him. And then if he went somewhere, he'd probably have to work out a new contract with that team. I think the Cardinals are a good option. I still think that if Dallas doesn't re-sign DeMarco Murray, mm-hmm. that Dallas is the best option for him, because it's just something. You look at Jerry Jones' career, this is what this guy does. And I think that I think it's just a logical scenario that this really could happen. But again, we have to see what his mindset is right now, because we haven't heard from Adrian Peterson on this.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure you've tried to hear from Adrian Peterson, but it just hasn't
happened. I haven't personally, but I know people out there have.
Sure.
And he's not talking right now, so we'll see what happens.
Stay well. Appreciate the time as always, Peter. Thanks.
All the best, Brad. Thank you.
You too. Peter King with us, the MMQB. It's always good to have Peter King part of Sports360AZ.com. Our coverage from the NFL Scouting Combine brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. On the other side, back to Goran Dragic and the latest on that front as we continue on a busy Thursday. Eric Sorensen in Indianapolis at the Combine, tracking guests, finding people like Peter King, the best in the business. And we've got the Dragic story working on as well. Plenty of content up right now on sports360az.com. And throughout the day, you'll want to check back. We do the high school college pros right here in Arizona. Arizona-centric at sports360az.com. We partner with AZ Central Sports. So Paul Coro just sent out a tweet, actually a few minutes ago, that the Suns' flight to Minnesota has been delayed until 1:30. You know, when you're trying to move things and move baggage and move parts, are the Suns holding their flight? Does that mean anything? Again, if they get on the plane today and Goran Dragic is still on the roster, I would be beyond surprised. I mean, I really would. And I think Robert Sarver is in a spot where he has to make the move here and just swallow his pride as an owner. If you take the stubborn route and you don't get anything for Goran Dragic and you say, I'm going to show him those 3 months that he's still on this roster, or 2.5 months, because I really don't see the Suns making the postseason. And the fact that Goran used the verbiage that he did yesterday of, quote, I don't trust them, end quote, I don't trust them anymore. You know, you can't just use that type of verbiage. You really can't. And that was, the Dragic story is one thing that surprised me. You know, talking there with Peter King about Adrian Peterson and the Cardinals, and Peter saying that the Cardinals, from his understanding, are a good option. I think that's a significant story. But he also said the Cowboys are a better option. But if the Cardinals were to get in on Adrian Peterson, as Peter laid it out, Adrian has not talked yet. It would be on the Vikings to either release him or trade him. But he believes that the Arizona Cardinals would be a good option for Adrian Peterson. So we have two significant stories today. Obviously, Gorin, the Suns' flight being delayed to leave town, and in the Combine, and Eric will join us here in a couple of minutes with more from the Combine. George Whitfield, the quarterback coach, quarterback guru, actually, from around the NFL, who's worked with Brady White over at ASU, who's worked with Brett Hundley, who's worked with a lot of big names, Jameis Winston. Eric will rejoin us from the Combine in a couple of minutes. Our coverage from the Combine brought to you by Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Fox 10's Jude LaCava, longtime friend, first and foremost, and sportscaster at Channel 10, sports director there for a couple of minutes. Okay, so when you saw Goran Dragic say, look into the camera and say, I don't trust them anymore, of all the people that you've covered through the years in Arizona sports, that's a lot of them, did that one make your jaw drop?
No, not at all. Not one iota. Goran Dragic is the highest character, humble Suns player I have ever covered, period, in 25 years. The nicest guy, the best family man, brutally honest. I think this story's been brewing for many, many months. I think it has a lot to do with how this roster was constructed, and I have tremendous respect for Goran to just be very honest. Listen, they traded him to Houston, all right? I will compliment Robert Sarver. He brought him back with the hope of building a franchise around him at the point guard position. Those are the comments that were made.
Mm-hmm.
Then as time progressed, we see him playing off the ball. Last year, it worked. It was reasonable. But then with the acquisition of Isaiah Thomas, it really, if you look at the numbers, he's played more off the ball and out of position of running the team as a, by the way, all-star caliber point guard. So, no, I have to defend Goran. I think this is a peek into a front office that I've said for many years is a work in progress. I truly believe there is a significant trend here, and let's very quickly go through it. Late on the decision for Joe Johnson. Late on the decision for Steve Kerr in terms of his contract status, he leaves. Late on the decision of Amari Stoudemire in terms of really getting a lot in his prime, what they could have gotten. Late on the decision of Steve Nash. Yeah, they got some picks, sure. But again,
very late on Steve Nash. Very, very late on Steve Nash. And that was
let's keep going. Late on the decision of Jeff Hornacek. 2-year deal with an option for a third, almost coach of the year last year, now in his second year with a team option going to his third year. There's a trend here. Late on deciding what your core of players are at the point guard position. Now, 2 days before the trade deadline, Goran just brutally says, I don't know what to think anymore. I can't blame a high-quality guy that, you know, I saw this report on SB Nation. He's going for the money and the nightlife. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
That's coming from the Suns. That'll be a shame.
Yeah.
This guy's a high-quality, and they know he's a high-quality guy, family guy, proud father, good teammate, sucked it up and played through it. And then decided to be honest yesterday, period.
So Adrian Wojnarowski, as you and I are sitting here talking, just tweeted, if Miami can include Norris Cole in the Dragic deal with the Suns, Cole would go to Detroit. My understanding this morning is Miami has the best deal on the table with two first-round picks, not with protection. And Robert Sarver doesn't want any part of this. Okay, so all of what you're saying is true. I would even go further on Nash and say for a couple of years it was the Suns wanting to make sure the lower bowl was full, even though they knew they had an inept product on the floor and they should have traded Steve much earlier. Jude, he cannot get on the plane today at 1:30. He can't.
Well, let's also look at this. Hold on a second. Are you going to say the owner of the Suns is going to react emotionally and spitefully?
Yeah.
And not do anything? That this is very unprofessional. You can't operate a team this way. You can't say, well, I'll show you. I'm going to keep you here.
Yeah.
That's not the smart way to run a basketball team. You've got to put emotions aside and be a businessman. That, again, is an insight into some of the things that have gone on here. And I just hope Suns fans take a deep breath and look at the bigger picture. I have nothing personal against Robert Sarver, but you can't run your roster that way and say, well, he said this, and I'm not going to trade him. Now I'll show him. You just cannot make a business decision that way, Brad. I mean, that you got to be objective. You've got to do what's best for your franchise.
Well, here's the thing on this. Robert's the one that went into the parking garage to sign Gorin, you know, while they had Raymond Felton upstairs with the inept front office that was there before.
Okay. Thankfully, and that was a good move.
It was a good move. Sure it was. Sure it was.
He was aggressive in saying, we made a mistake, let's bring him back.
Right.
A good move. But then in an unprecedented way, it re-happened again past year.
Jude, if you're sitting there and you're Robert Sarver, don't you look down the hall at Lon Babbie and say, are you kidding me? You screwed this thing up. And you look at Ryan and you say, guys, I got him here. And then you guys go out and get Isaiah Thomas and you just kind of take this valuable asset that we have and push him off to the side.
I will say this. This is my understanding, and it's from a number of different sources, that I think Ryan is the talent evaluator and for the most part, very good at it. But when it comes to contractual obligations and the business decisions, that still goes through Lon Babbie and Robert Sarver. They're the ultimate decision maker on the Eric Bledsoe contract, on the Isaiah Thomas contract. They really do have the final say. That's just the way that front office operates. So the rubber stamp on the IT acquisition had to come, in my mind, in my opinion, I could be wrong, from Lon Babbie and Robert Sarver.
No, I've heard the same thing, but let's go over to Jeff Hornacek. Jeff Hornacek's sitting here and saying, I'm just playing the cards that I'm dealt.
Yes,
and that's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. He's like the Black Knight in Monty Python. You know, cut off my arms, cut off my legs, and I'll bite you. I've got this roster that makes no sense at all.
That's right. And oh, by the way, let me also say this: that's another irony to this. I know firsthand, Goran Dragic really respects Jeff Hornacek and really, really just has the fondest regard for him as a player to a coach. That's another part of the story that hasn't come out. It pained me to see what Gorin said from an honesty standpoint, because he's such a good guy yesterday.
Well, here's the thing, Jude, and I'll let you go off this. If Robert does the unprofessional thing, which is I'll show you, I'm not going to trade you to your preferred list, and he does this to a nice guy like Gorin Dragic, you know and I know, both know, that the agents and future players will pull the same sort of stuff.
Yes.
Okay. And so today is one of these days that is a real benchmark for the Suns, because they've been in the ditch for 4 years going on five. And it's been since the early 70s since they've been in this ditch. And it's only going to get worse if he decides, well, I'll show you.
This would be another step back, a dramatic step back.
Huge.
By our organization. And that's really the story to me. It's unfortunate, because I thought maybe this triumvirate at the top would be beyond this, and they're not. It's unfortunate for Suns fans that have been waiting for a playoff-type product. It really is. But I cannot say enough, the high-character, humble, quality team guy that Goran Dragic, I think it pained him for him to be brutally honest yesterday. I really do. And anybody that's attempting to besmirch this guy about big money or nightlife is dead wrong. That is not the case. And this is coming from people that have known him for my own time, talking to him through the years. He's a quality guy. It's a shame. It's a shame it's happening to the organization. And I'll say one thing. It's about relationship with your players. It's not just about, you know, acquiring this guy or that guy. It is the quality of how you do things. And it's as honest as I can be.
Before I let you go, so I had Peter King on the last segment. He said the Cardinals are a good option. The Cowboys are a better option for Adrian Peterson. It's all got to play out. But he did say the Cardinals are a good option. So what's your gut say on that one?
I think that Mike Bidwell, his position with the Conduct Policy Committee, will shy away from this. I do think that they've got enough on their plate with trying to figure out their Washington. Certainly he would be a great addition. But from a perception standpoint, I don't think Mike will go there. That's just my gut hunch. I don't see the organization going there. There are other options, maybe not as dynamic as Peterson, and I think that's where they'll go.
Stay well. Appreciate the time as always. Thanks.
You got it, Brett.
There's Jude LaCava for a couple of minutes, Fox 10. Good stuff. So there's where it is with Dragic. You think if Norris Cole goes over to Detroit, two first-round picks, that's one way to go about it. It's a dark day. It is. This segment brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. When I say it's a dark day, that's how it works, the Valley sports scene. I tell people we are the busiest sports market in America. And we are. You know, we have NASCAR races, and we have PGA and LPGA this weekend out of Longbow. And you know, we have Diamondbacks opening up, and we have United opening up. And it was just one thing after the next. And so for me, it's always being on the go. I'm a go, go, go guy. And I have to have a vehicle that makes a lot of sense for me on the go. And the Ford Fusion is that vehicle from Santan Ford. I've sat in General Manager Tim Hovick's office many times at Santan Ford. We just talk about what's going on around the Valley sports scene. And he's in tune to that. He's also in tune to being a good partner. He's a partner with the Arizona Cardinals, with the Arizona Diamondbacks, and with Arizona State. So he sees what's going on, and the Ford brand is a very strong brand, a strong name. Why wouldn't you want to be involved with that same team? Okay, the next time you're looking for that car, you're looking for that truck, certified pre-owned, think about Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. It's where I get my vehicles. Purchased recently a certified pre-owned Explorer for my wife at Santan Ford. You can go to santanford.com. You can go, of course, right on our site, sports360az.com, and click on the Santan Ford banner ad. And we thank Santan Ford for their support. We are in the combine business today in Indianapolis, so there because of Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. In fact, on the other side, we're going to head back to Indianapolis. We'll check in with Eric Sorensen. The receivers were rolling through about 40 minutes ago. He also caught up with George Whitfield, the quarterback guru who's been working with Arizona State coming in freshman Brady White. Big story on that front. We'll hear his comments on Brady White and what ASU is getting, plus the quarterbacks at the combine as we continue on. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at sports360AZ.com.
Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona-centric. Been at this now, just coming up on 3 years plus, and having a great time doing it, especially on a day like today where there's so much going on in Arizona sports. We are Arizona-centric. Our website is sports360AZ.com. On the high school, on the college, on the pro front, things that we see around Arizona. It's not your typical site. I like to say that in a world of Walmart, that we are Sprouts and Whole Foods. We try to be above it and do things a little differently, a little bit deeper, a little bit further. And on a day like today where you have at the Combine, Eric is going to join us here momentarily. He thought that he was going to join us right now, but Jalen Strong walked in the room, and so Eric just blew me off, which is fine. It's fine. It's part of the deal. And the other story is Goran Dragic. Today is the NBA trade deadline. Paul Coro, as we said earlier, tweeted out that the Suns' flight has been pushed back to 1:30 to Minnesota. I can't see any way, shape, or form that Dragic gets on this plane and Robert Sarver is just going to sit there and say, well, I'll show you for the next 3 months. We had Paul Coro on yesterday. I don't often ask people to come back on, but I think with the magnitude of this story and what's happened in the last 24 hours, Paul Coro joins us for a couple of moments live here because things are just moving parts. As you sit here right now, and I appreciate you jumping on short notice, as you sit here right now, does Goran Dragic remain with the Suns today?
Whew. I don't even know what odds to put on that anymore. I mean, I think they're doing everything in their power to try to find something by 1 o'clock, but I don't think they're really happy with anything out there right now. The teams that do have something that would interest them are not teams that Dragic would want to go to. The teams that have something to offer to them, pennies on the dollar. And maybe you get to the point by 1 o'clock, and like you said, you know, do you just want to try to sit in this awkward situation for the next 2 months and try to talk them into liking you again? Or do you want to just cut ties and get what you can out of it rather than letting them walk in July? But the problem with that, too, is you trade Goran Dragic for something less than anything less than what he is, and you've taken yourself out of the playoff race.
Paul, don't you believe that as we sit here today, Oklahoma City is going to pass them? The Thunder have a much easier schedule than the Suns. They have a lot of home games. And that even with Gorin here, can the Suns hold off? And I'd even throw New Orleans in there. The Suns have a roster that is playoff worthy. Because if you keep Gorin, I can't see where he's going to be the same player. He'll try to be a pro because that's what he is. But this has got to impact him if he ends up sitting here for the next couple of months.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you that they're not in position to make the playoffs this season. And that's exactly what I thought going into the year. The eight teams that made it last year are probably going to make it again this year. None of them took a step back except for injury. And we've added New Orleans to the mix. And shoot, they might have caught the Suns already if Anthony Davis hadn't been hurt. But yeah, you're right that Goran Dragic would be professional about it. He would play hard, but
sure,
that's just too. Now you're getting into where every move by Jeff Hornacek or Goran Dragic or anybody is analyzed ad nauseum probably, because it's all with the perspective of, is he walking? Are they trying to make him happy? Or if they already cut ties with him, so they're playing him less, you know, are they favoring Thomas and Bledsoe? You know, it would not be a good call to have over the team.
And this has far-reaching implications from my view, because if the Suns cave in some people's minds, you know and I know the next player that's not happy or wants leverage in Phoenix is going to do the same thing. Agents are going to see how the Suns were put up against a wall, how they handled this, and it may not be next year or the year, but it's going to have a lasting implication on this team. Wouldn't you agree?
You would think so until the next guy gets a certain amount of money thrown in front of him and is happy to come here. But you're right. If agents pull this with every team, though, and I don't know that this is anything specific to Phoenix, except that, there's been a few guys under this regime that have sort of left under this sort of unhappiness.
Yeah.
Channing, Steve Nash, Grant Hill, none of them really left under the terms they wanted to, and players don't get to always choose that. It's Robert Sarver's team, and he has a management team to run it and make hard choices. And so not everything's going to be, this isn't YMCA ball where everybody gets to play equal minutes. I kind of see both sides of it. I asked Goran Dragic that yesterday if he's feeling any of what some of those past guys felt, and he said that this was a different scenario, but some of those guys probably would feel differently.
Paul Coroise, Central Sports, on the day where the deadline is now 2 hours away. Goran Dragic still with the team. Paul tweeted earlier the team's pushed their flight back to 1:30. They've got to figure something out.
You don't think that's a mechanical failure?
Yeah, right. It's a failure, and it's a failure, and it's not mechanical. That's where I'm going with this. This notion of Robert Sarver last night and this morning being really upset with the situation, and I'm not going to trade him to his list of teams. What can you say about that?
Well, then they're going to have a terrible time trading him, because there's not that many teams in the league that need a point guard. And, pretty much his list were the teams that would be interested in doing something, because from his perspective, he wants to go to a place where he can run the team and be the point guard. From a team that's trading him for him perspective, they got to have a need. Not everybody's trying to do the dual point guard thing, and not everybody's going to want to bring in a guy who's going to be demanding an $80 million contract or something to be a backup. So,
right.
If you're trying to get something out of this and squeeze some juice out of this orange before it dies, then you got to deal with the teams that want him.
In Miami, from what Wojo put out about 15 minutes ago on Twitter, that Norris Cole through Detroit coming to the Suns, and I'd heard this morning from a couple Western Conference teams, two first-round picks from Miami was the best offer that was out there. Are you hearing the same?
Yeah, I just, the picks seem to be the best route now, because, one, they want to accumulate assets to be in a position to make another big deal down the line.
Right.
And, two, these teams just don't have, most of them are non-playoff contenders, so they don't have young guys that they want to part with that have the all-star potential the Suns are hoping for, or just star potential.
Okay, last question before I let you go on this busy day. Have you seen this organization botch something as badly as this, or am I overreacting, and is most of Suns Nation overreacting?
I'd have to digest that one a little bit. There's been a few things botched, and I think they probably misread this more than some situations in the past. I think they misread Goran Dragic's feelings and his fortitude on the situation. I think they kind of played off his nice guy image and thought if there's anybody that will roll with this and be the team guy, it would be him, but he fed up.
All right. He gets on the plane or he doesn't get on the plane? I'm putting you up against the wall.
I don't think so. I mean, if anybody from the organization saw how he felt yesterday, I know he hasn't spoke to him in person, but they surely have probably seen the read the comments and seen the video. That's probably enough to realize you need to get what you can out of this now and move on.
You're going to Minnesota, right?
Yeah. I'm going to go later, though.
Yeah. Fun for you. We'll talk soon.
I think
soon.
I have some work to do after the deadline.
Yeah, I think you do. Stay well. Thanks on short notice.
Thanks, Brad.
You got it. There's Paul Coro for a couple of minutes. AZ Central Sports, the latest on Dragic. You know, the thing is with the Suns, we'll take a break here. The thing with the Suns is it's just like it's the same. It's not the same angle. It's just there's always something around them that you look at and say, come on, guys, can you get it together? It's almost like the Cardinals back in the day. Like, it's just Denny Green all over again, except it's not that Jeff's a bad coach, but, you know, this will be the end of Jeff's second year. He's got 1 year left. And he's got to be looking around saying, what are you guys doing here? Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. On the other side, back to the NFL Scouting Combine live in Indianapolis with Eric Sorensen. Off we go in hour number two, Sports360AZ.com. Brad Sussmat with you. Let's go back out to the Combine on this busy Thursday on Sports360AZ.com and AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Eric Sorensen is in Indianapolis at the Combine, brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Have the receivers rolled through yet? What's new in Indianapolis?
Some receivers have rolled through. The one that I'm waiting for, Arizona State's Jalen Strong, has not made his way to the media area. But since the last time we spoke, Brad, it's just getting busier and busier here in Indianapolis. Everyone's just sort of ramping up to what is expected to be a very entertaining Jameis Winston press conference. At some point later this afternoon, he, along with the other quarterbacks, Brett Hundley and Marcus Mariota, they will be speaking. So we are sort of on standby, waiting. It's like the calm before the storm, so to speak.
No, that's fine. It's fine. That's how the combine works. You did talk with a quarterback guru earlier today that's of interest to Arizona fans, right?
I did. I talked to George Whitfield. He is an ESPN quarterback guru. You'll see him a lot on College Game Day. And he has an interesting connection because he works with a lot of the up-and-comers. He worked last year with Kyle Allen, who's now at Texas A&M. And he worked this past summer with Brady White. And I asked him some of the things he saw in Brady White's game as possibly the heir apparent to Mike Bercovici at Arizona State.
Having him in the Elite 11, I actually got to coach him. Loves those big moments. Loves that, you know, that tricky third down situation or the red zone or whatever it is, and his game to take the shot. You know, there's nothing more emphatic about a quarterback who can put his foot in the ground and believes he can go anywhere on the field with the football. That'll be Brady. You know, obviously he's going to, you know, get bigger and stronger. Arizona State fans should have a bright future with him and Manny Wilkins up there.
Mm, good stuff. And he's
definitely.
And he's working. He's got a lot of quarterbacks back there, right? And he's worked with Kyle Allen. He's worked with a lot of people.
Yeah, he has. He's worked with Jameis Winston, and he is just sort of one of the more well-respected. You hear about these quarterback gurus, but George, you're not going to find many better than George Whitfield. He was the one that kind of mentored Johnny Manziel last year. They go to San Diego. They work on the beach. They work on all kinds of core technique. It's not just mechanics. It's the whole aspect of getting ready to become either a college quarterback or, in this case, an NFL quarterback here at the Combine.
Good stuff. And the rest of that interview is up on sports360az.com or will be up later today. All right, Eric, get back at it and plenty of content there. That's Eric Sorensen live at the Combine in Indianapolis. Working on guests, working on content, all sorts of stuff for sports360az.com. You can check his video work out there. Bruce Arians met earlier this morning with the media. And here's Bruce Arians, Cardinals head coach, on the Larry Fitzgerald deal getting done and Fitz staying with the Cardinals.
He plays wide receiver and we're going to throw him the damn ball, you know, and continue. The big thing for Larry is we got to keep him healthy. You know, 2 years ago was the hamstrings. He got the MCL twice this year. And he was playing at a very high level. And obviously he's a warrior, so he's going to continue playing through the injury. And so if we can keep him healthy, he should have a big-time year.
More from Bruce Arians, because the combine is not just about it's Jameis Winston, it's Marcus Mariota, and running 40-yard dashes and all that stuff. There's a lot more to the combine than just the numbers.
The physical part, you see the tape. I'm not a big track meet guy, you know. This is a track meet, and until they start hitting each other, then you'll see football. So too many guys skyrocket when they leave the combine because they ran 4.3, but you turn the tape on and they don't hit anybody. You know, that's a different game. And so you can't get too enamored with the numbers.
No, I agree with that. I do agree with that. You know, that's why this organization's been able to go find some people here the last couple of years, and that's why in the past they completely missed on guys like Matt Leinart and Levi Brown. You know, looks like Tarzan plays like Jane. My buddy Jeff Van Raphorst uses that line often. And that happens at the combine. You got to find out if these guys really have something going on inside. They really have a passion for the game, or they're just mailing it in. It doesn't matter if it's in football or in any business, by the way. One of the stories that hasn't gotten played yet today was last night. I did not go to the ASU-UCLA game. I had a lot of things going on last night. But I did sit in my office and watch a predominant amount of it. And Jordan Hamm was out there last night. Jordy's in today for Eric and is producing. So was the arena full, by the way, for James Harden night? Or was it close?
It was pretty close. I wouldn't say it was completely full, but it was pretty darn close.
All right, in the halftime, you've got some video of James Harden. So the halftime ceremony to have the beard show back up at ASU last night, what was that like?
It was a pretty cool ceremony that they had going on. They had a nice little video kind of giving him all of his accomplishments that he had over at ASU and in the pros. And really it took me a second to realize how much he has done in the pros in not that many years. You know, a gold medal, MVP, Pac-10, then Pac-10 Player of the Year and stuff like that. So, there was a really good showing over at Wells Fargo for that.
It's cool to see the fans there and those of you watching on the stream, how much fun they had. So do we have some of James Harden talking, or is it just a video?
Yeah, we do have.
All right, let's hear from James Harden. This is from last night. Jordan was able to get to James Harden at his halftime ceremony. This was last night at ASU as a retired James Harden's number 13.
You know, that was one of the reasons why I chose ASU, is to make sure I leave a legacy here, make sure I leave something special. And I did that, you know, and I had a great 2 years. It was amazing, and I'm just blessed.
Here is Herb Sendek after the game on what Harden has accomplished in his career, including ASU.
We're obviously really proud, but I got to tell you, man, if you would have said he'd be this good this fast, I'm president of his fan club, I would have said, I don't know about all that. But what he's doing is remarkable.
So that was last night. That's good stuff over at ASU. You can check all that out. Jordan put a nice story together, some video and everything. If you didn't get the clips, it's on our website, sports360az.com. Goran Dragic, as we sit here right now, is still a member of the Phoenix Suns. So Paul Coro telling us earlier he does not expect Dragic to get on the flight with the team at 1:30 today when they leave for Minnesota. They push the flight back. The deadline is at 1 o'clock. This is a dark day, in my opinion, for the Phoenix Suns. Doesn't matter if they get draft picks back, as long as they get something. It's a darker day if they don't trade Goran Dragic. If the owner is so dug in that he's going to say, I told you, that's a slap at you guys. That's a slap at fans. It's a slap at season ticket holders. Goran Dragic is going to walk as a free agent. Understand, this is not, hey, we can spend the next 3 months and convince him to stay here. Goran Dragic said it yesterday. I don't trust them anymore. The trust has been broken. You cannot rebuild trust in a span of 2 months. It's not going to happen. So for this organization to sit there and say, well, we'll just figure it out, I don't buy into that. If the best that they get is two number ones from the Miami Heat and Norris Cole goes over to Detroit or comes to, it doesn't matter to me that they that's what they got. At least they got something. He had them over a barrel. The worst thing they could do is do nothing. Absolute worst thing they can do. And I don't blame the kid. His touches are down 40% year to year. 40%. And he's playing out on a wing where he's getting beat up, banged up, and he's pushed over to a corner. You know, when he went off yesterday, he had every right to go off. So it's very disappointing to see what's gone on downtown. I mean, it really is. Because for the two steps forward, this is a two-step back type of thing. And who's going to prevent the next guy from coming along saying, you know what, I want out of here. It's not like Goran Dragic is one of the nicest kids ever. It's not like Isaiah Thomas or Eric Bledsoe. And Eric Bledsoe flexed his muscles last summer. And if you do it for one player, you're going to have to do it for others, is my point. Busy Thursday. I'm Brad Sussmat.